former Blue Jay, former MLB catcher, friend of the show. He's been on many times. Here's JP Arencibia. What's up, JP?
Not much. I thought that I was going to come in for some Bob McKenzie insider in the come inside to talk about that, but I guess I'm the baseball guy.
Well, you know your hockey.
What's your hockey scoop? What do you got?
I got the Leafs, but down here in Tampa, where I've been, I've gotten to watch a few of those games, and that offense is pretty unbelievable to watch those guys kind of flow. But you know I'm a Leafs guy, so.
Well, that could be the second round. Tampa and Toronto, man. So your allegiance will be tested. But you're in a good spot. Yeah. Tampa's best team in the league by a lot. They are rock stars.
They're good.
Yeah. As for the Jays, though, the Toronto team that you used to play for, and I'm sure you still track really closely, ugly scene for them. Two bullpen arms. Their bullpen was still pretty weak to begin with on paper anyway. And now Ryan Tepera and John Axford are done for at least a month. Tepera is probably the bigger issue here because he's got elbow inflammation and they're sending him to the Tommy John surgeon for a second opinion. When you hear that out of an arm or a teammate, what's your level of concern?
Anytime you get a second opinion, that's usually because they didn't like to hear the news of the first one, so they're kind of following it up to make sure that either A, I don't need Tommy John, or B, I do need it. So that's kind of more serious. Whenever you get, I guess you could call it the Grim Reaper in essence, but I don't think that's a good thing. And especially Tepera, who's a very cutter-heavy guy, which is really tough on the elbow, I think that could be something that's not good.
When you're going into a season like this where the Jays, the players are aware of it. They're aware of what management is telling everybody, that they're rebuilding, they're not going to be very good. Does that change your approach in the spring? Like, would you be forecasting maybe how bad the team potentially could be? And if so, would that affect the way you prepared?
No, well, heck no. Because I don't care in anything that you do, especially as a professional athlete. If you don't perform well, you're going to be out of baseball in a split of time, which is why I'm doing media now, because I didn't do good, and then all of a sudden I had to stop playing. But so I don't think anybody prepares any less. If anything, you prepare, you continue to be motivated, and you're even more motivated, because I think it's actually harder, and I'm sure that you guys have seen this in anything, is when you have a good team, it makes everybody around you better. When a team struggles, man, it is tough to get going. It seems like the whole, you know, like when they say hitting is contagious, I mean, all that stuff really makes a difference. So it's a tough thing. The one thing I will say is I don't know if I've ever heard them say that they're not going to be good. I mean, I think anytime you go into any kind of season, you go with optimism and you feel like you can compete. What I will say also is I think that there's teams that have showed that you can get young and good really fast. You watch the Yankees did it when they tore everything down and they built it back up right away. And then you've seen the Braves do it with all their young guys. So I think that it's not necessarily they're going to be bad. I just think that they're going to get young. And sometimes, especially nowadays, they've showed that young players can go out there and do some big things.
The Yankees, though, they do it in a year. They trade a guy to the Cubs who was the reliever.
Well, Chapman.
Yeah, and then they just signed him again this summer. They got him back.
Yeah.
Well, that's their rebuild.
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, yeah, but at the end of the day, they did go young with Gary Sanchez, and then they had Andujar and all these young guys, all these young arms coming up too, with Green. Then all of a sudden they're back in it, and then of course they went out and did some stuff, which is from what I've heard the front office in Toronto talk about is they're like, once we're in contention or close to it, then we can expand, which that's the hope, right?
Well, that's exactly what they're going to sell. And, I mean, people forget they flipped Chapman for Gleyber Torres. Like, what a piece that was too, right? Like, and I don't see anybody on this Jays roster that is going to acquire that type of prospect coming back if they're up for trades. Like, if Stroman and or Sanchez, if they start the season on a heater, if either of those two guys have a great first two or three months, what kind of value do you think the Jays would be expecting in return if they decided to trade them?
Gosh, I mean, you're talking about one guy, if he's healthy, and Aaron Sanchez led the MLB or the AL and ERA. So, I mean, you're talking about two frontline guys. So anytime you go and you deal two frontline guys, I mean, you definitely are going to get something back in return as far as a top prospect. You look at JT Realmuto, and he is a frontline catcher, and he brought back Sixto Sanchez to the Marlins, who is, you know, one of the top, he's the top prospect. So I would say if that's the case, if you're getting rid of any of those two guys, you're definitely getting a top prospect back. But the only thing that sucks, too, is in this day and age, the Blue Jays, if they don't do well, and all of a sudden these guys are doing, the pitchers and Stroman and Sanchez, which I expect them to do well, they're doing well. I think other GMs know, hey, dude, like, I have a little bit of leverage because you guys need help. And you guys are trying to sell high, and we know that, you know, we can kind of hold your back to the wall a little bit, in essence. And I think that's a tough spot to be in for the Jays.
With JPR and Seba here on Overdrive, the big news in baseball today, Ichiro officially announcing his retirement over in Japan. Played the first couple of games for Seattle, and the Mariners, they picked up two wins over there. And now both them and the Athletics have to come home and get ready to start the season for real, or at least for a second time next week. But a guy like Ichiro, who set a record 10 straight seasons with 200-plus hits, this is a guy who would spray it all over the park, never hit for power. I actually looked at his stats today for the first time in years. Didn't walk as much as I thought he would, obviously as much as the power guys generally do, but still a guy who is just a machine, first ballot Hall of Famer. As a catcher, when a guy like that steps into the box, are you intimidated? What's your routine when Ichiro's stepping in?
Oh, I mean, I'm not. You're not intimidated as much as like, dude, where is this guy going to be able to get out at? Like, he was a special guy. Like you said, he didn't walk, so he put the ball in play. And one thing he was really good at was being able to, I mean, hit bad pitches and still get success out of them. So he was a special, special guy to compete against. And back there, you're kind of hoping, honestly, is you're reading his swings and you're kind of going, okay, maybe. He's looking in, so let's try to go away. Or I think he's trying to hang out over the plate. Let's, like, run a couple in on him to back him off. You're just always trying to make them uncomfortable because most of the time those guys, I mean, he's the first ballot Hall of Famer for a reason. So it's kind of one of those guys that's really tough to pitch to. But I think, you know, you look at what he did. I mean, all these – you saw, I don't know how to say his name, Kikuchi or whatever, the starting pitcher for them today. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was like – he was full on bawling, crying when Ichiro came out of the game, and so you know what he means to the Japanese people, as far as Yu Darvish saying the most famous person in Japan is Ichiro, right? So like, this guy is a freaking god over there, and I mean he did it over there, and to think about how much time he did it over there before he came over to the major leagues, and then continue to do it here. I mean, I think he was a guy who set the tone for Japanese players and gave them an opportunity to continue to come out here and have a position player and have the success and have the opportunity to play in the major league. So, I mean, he's obviously a guy who is one of the best to ever do it.
He's on Twitter at JPRNCBN9. You can find the podcast host of Digging In podcast on Yahoo and, of course, former Jays catcher JPRNCBN. We always appreciate the insight and the time. We'll do it again down the road. Thank you, JP.
You got it.
There's JPR and Sevier.